Okay. We're here calling the Thursday, September 8th special meeting of the City Council to order. Let the record show that all council members are present, and let's begin with a salute to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, this is our pre-meeting for our JPA meeting with Cayuga Slater, so we'll go through the agenda and see if we have any questions or need clarification on anything that we will be having. Yes, yeah, we will. So first of all, on the agenda is public comment. Anyone here wishing to speak to us? Okay, please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Penny Harrington, and some of you may know me and know that my background is in law enforcement. And I have contacts in law enforcement across the country, and I'm here tonight to make an appeal to you on behalf of the officers of the NEZ. They don't have toothpaste, toothbrushes, underwear, deodorant, nothing. They have nothing. And they're in that fetid water. And they have to, when they come out, they have to take the clothes off and they have to be disposed of because they don't even have facilities that can clean the clothing that they're wearing. And they don't have enough clothing. So now they're trying to let it dry and put them on again later and wear them. I've been talking to neighbors and people are starting to donate things. And they need all of that stuff I mentioned, toiletries. They need black clothing, pants, T-shirts, caps. They need flashlights, caps. They're just in total crisis. What I'm asking for, because people in the community are being nice about coming forward when I can find them all to talk to them and donating things, but I need to get them there. And so I've talked to the people at the Morro Bay mailboxes place by the Nibble Nook, and they've agreed to box things up and to at practically no cost at all and to get them shipped out on a daily basis. But I need mailing expenses. And I don't know how much it's going to be because I don't know how much people are going to bring in. And I'm hoping that I can, speak again at a city council meeting so people will hear it and bring in donations. But this truly is a crisis, and it's people that are being underserved, and they're the ones who stayed. And many of them have been on duty since the hurricane hit, and they're just now going to 12-hour shifts, so at least they get a little bit of time off where they can sleep. So I know it's not a Morro Bay problem, but it's a world problem, and we really need to address it.
Absolutely. If I may suggest, come to
the contact phone number where people can call you about donating cash or goods.
Okay. And we do have a national organization that's accepting cash that will then buy what's needed and ship it in there also.
Would you mind sharing that number even before the weekend?
Okay. I'll have that
right
for
now.
You also. I don't have it with me right now.
Okay.
I mean, if people want to call me, they can.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
And my number is 772-2093.
Very good. Okay.
And I will get the national number, too, if people want to call nationally.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. I appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Honorable council members, staff, friends, Joey Ricano, Ocean Outfall Group. I have been in Los Osos working on the sewer issue because I'm very confident that we're going to be able to put together a regional plan. And the first order of business was to get the house in order in Los Osos. In 17 days, there will be a recall election, and I'm confident that the three wayward CSD members will be recalled and the project will be moved out of town. At some point in the future, we'll be hooking into it. I'm confident of these things. What I'm here to talk to you about this afternoon, is that I have a couple of concerns here at home, and one of those concerns is with the talk of discontinuing testing for pathogens at our outfall. This would be folly. Rather than be complacent about not finding pathogens. I think we need to look for different and newer. We're not doing 100% secondary treatment of the outfall effluent. Full secondary treatment of sewage was mandatory by the Clean Water Act 30 years ago. What we are doing here, and what I've heard some people say quite erroneously, is that it's okay because we're chlorinating. We're disinfecting it. And by doing that, we reach the levels we need to. Incorrect, and let me tell you why. When you take less than full secondarily treated sewage, and then you put chlorine on it, you disinfect it, what happens is there is a chemical reaction that happens. The chlorine reacts with the carbon, and it forms organochlorines, chlorinated hydrocarbons, among the most dangerous class of chemicals. They're called endocrine disruptors, and what they do is they wreak havoc with the reproductive systems. Okay? This is a problem. You might recognize some endocrine disruptors, PCBs, DDT, dioxin. These are endocrine disruptors. And what happens is they're worse than the sewage that you started out with. So we want to protect our ocean. We want to be protective of our coastal resources. And please, let's get to full secondary treatment and then go to full tertiary treatment. There's going to be an excellent opportunity to bring Los Osos in on board. And then Cayucas. Cayucas isn't going to have much of a choice. As you know, you have been carrying the ball for Cayucas for a long time. Cayucas does nothing except send you raw sewage, this enterprise fund thing that you guys are wisely keeping out of. And what they want to do is they want to continue to act like a financial institution. Now, the real problem comes when you look at what you have with them. You have a joint powers agreement. That is not good.
Joey, if you could wrap it up.
What is good, yes, ma'am, what you need is a joint powers agency. It's much different. It keeps joint powers from acting like financial institutions and instead makes them treat the sewage, which is what they are supposed to be doing. I thank you for the excellent work that you've been doing. And hold your ground, because we support you. I thank you for this opportunity to address you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll bring it back to the council. All right, consent calendar. Does anyone have any questions, comments on the consent calendar items? Or Bruce, do you have anything you want us to know? Okay. Unfinished business, the budget. I guess what we really need to know is what the subcommittee accomplished and if any decisions were made. Do we have any input on that? Cayucas was going to take it back to their board. Have we heard anything about that?
Well, there was two issues addressed at the subcommittee. One was the depreciation schedule, and I think we had a discussion of that issue. We had a presentation by the auditor. The end result was Cayucas basically tabled that issue until they could have further discussion at their board meeting, and you may hear something about it this evening, but I have heard nothing about it in the interim. The second, what each agency's priorities and goals were, and the basic outcome of the subcommittee discussion was that we would put the request for proposal together such that when the consultant comes back with their proposal, they will break down the price for studying secondary treatment, partial tertiary, and tertiary treatment, and then the district can have a better idea of what the costs associated with studying those are and see if they want to come on board with paying for the full study. So that's what I'm kind of working on right now, is putting the scope of work together for that RFP at this point.
Okay. All right. Any questions on that part of it, the RFP? Okay, I'd like to hear just from our subcommittee members about how you felt things went at that meeting and where you feel that we should be concentrating tonight in our discussions, if assuming that they're going to want to discuss this.
Well, yeah. I thought they went pretty smoothly, actually. They tabled their concerns about the
Depreciation.
Yeah. And since we've already passed the budget, whether they passed or not may not be that material.
Okay.
So that'll be a decision they have to make. We can ask them if they want to pass it or not.
Okay. Betty, what's your feeling?
Thad chaired the meeting. He did a lovely job.
Oh, good. I did catch part of it, but I didn't see all of it, so I wanted to.
I thought it was interesting. We had the auditor come in, mm-hmm. and he certainly presented, and I think we're insisting that it be treated differently. As an enterprise fund and as a definition of an enterprise fund, maybe that's where
they keep
differ.
Coming back to we need to set it up as an enterprise fund. We've already heard from our staff representative that we are, in effect. And, Jim, anything you want to add to that?
No, I have nothing to add to that. But I'd just like to reinforce the fact that we are treating it in accordance with accepted accounting practices, that it's identical treatment to that of an enterprise fund under governmental accounting guidelines. It's classified the way it ought to be classified, and those guidelines have undergone some major changes in the last couple of years, and perhaps their directors aren't fully aware of all of the changes, but the definition of enterprise is one thing. The way we perform the accounting is in compliance with an enterprise fund or whatever fund we classify it as. But there's
my understanding that we heard that perhaps their own district is using the same criteria.
They are, in fact. I got their copies of their audits, and they're treating depreciation in exactly the same way we are.
Thank you.
Was that discussed at the?
Not yet, but it may have to be.
Okay. Okay.
I have a question.
The increase, and as a matter of fact, there is included in the budget that was adopted a transfer from the wastewater capital accumulation fund to cover that difference.
And since we're moving into a capital project and some of the money from the budget is for capital improvements,
yes.
That's okay?
It's a legitimate thing for you to do. Mm-hmm. You have the authority to make that decision. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's okay. Let me also say that I'd much rather keep it and get the
rates
up, but that'll happen over time.
Are we behind by a lot or a little, or if you'll refer me to the budget, how much we transferred?
I don't have it with me. I'm sorry.
Okay. But okay.
But it's more than a little.
It's more than a little.
Okay. Yes.
The rate increase schedule that we had established is going to be sufficient ultimately to provide this or not? Or do we need to look at another rate increase?
I think we're going to need to look at another rate increase simply because the rate increase we established at the time we established it was prior to all of the recent developments with the secondary mm-hmm. treatment project and the projects that we're undertaking. We're paying the lion's share of those costs, and that wasn't a part of the picture at the time that the rates were increased.
So that's something council needs to look at?
Yes.
Okay. Goody.
Do we agendize that now or later?
In this upgrade and the costs associated with the project all the way through, and then with that you'll be able to evaluate a rate plan that would cover those costs in the long run. You certainly could go forward with another rate change now, but from the standpoint of being able to support it to the public, you might want to have that kind of information in front of you as well as about where you're headed and what the costs are going to be. And Would you agree with that, Bruce? I think Bruce has got a better handle on the timing of that than I do. But
yeah, I would agree with that. I think that, you know, the facilities plan, which is going to be the first step, is basically going to cover a couple fiscal years. So once we get a public notice out on the street. We get proposals from the consultant. And we start to kind of put a time frame on it. We can have a better idea of the fiscal impact. And then we also have a draft sewer master plan coming out, which is going to have some suggestions for capital expenditure just in the collection system in and of itself, that it might be better to wait for some of that stuff to gel a little bit. And I know that I think it's the draft sewer master plan is going to PWEB, I believe, at their next meeting. So I think there's going to be some discussion of it there. And as those costs, I mean, you're going to have collection fees costs of keeping your sewer system intact, as well as an upgrade to the treatment plant. And so I think maybe over the next year or so, you're going to get a better idea of how those costs shake out.
Can I ask, Mr. Gozer, could you remind us, when we passed the increase last year, it was for, was it $2 for 1 year, and then the next year we had another automatic increase? Is that what happened?
It was a three-step
process. Sufficient already by next year, from what I'm hearing.
Probably not.
Okay. So we might just need to increase those increases.
You may choose to do that, but it would be kind of piecemealing it with these other things coming along. Mm-hmm. I would think that strategically it might be something you'd want to consider holding off on for a little bit.
Yes, Bruce.
Part of the time schedule that you adopted actually has a financial plan component to it, and part of that is a rate study. Mm-hmm. And okay. My understanding is in order to get grants or loans, you're going to have to conduct some sort of rate study to document the fact that you have the capability to pay the loan off or something like that. So that is going to come down the line, but that's not scheduled until I think November 07 or something, if you stick to the time schedule the way it's laid out.
Okay. But we can move things up. I mean, that seems like if we've got the information, we could move it up.
Yeah, I think a lot's going to depend on what you come back with in the facility plan. And once you make a choice about what you want, you're going to have a better idea, concrete idea of what your true costs are going to be. And then it's going to be a lot easier to implement those rate changes.
Okay. Questions on this end? No? Okay. Anything else that you want to?
Yeah, let's go to D.
About? Okay.
The subcommittee is recommending that
where's D?
The facility plan have the three options mentioned, secondary, partial, tertiary, and full tertiary costed separately so that we can make a decision and so that Cayucas obviously can look at the various costs. Tertiary with costed,
yeah.
Each costed separately. And what I'm asking the council is, do we agree? And if so, do we have some language for a motion that we can present that then would be also the language that might be used by Cayucas when we get to that point?
All right, council discussion on that. I'm certainly in agreement.
Yeah, I called Bruce earlier today and asked him if that would increase the cost of the facility plan to do all three of those separately, and he said not really significantly, that right. He'd already checked with Mr. Did you want to add something in there, Bruce?
Well, I was just going to say that I think you're looking at the same facilities plan we sort of spoke about in the beginning. What we're going to ask the consultant to do is come back with a proposal that actually breaks, that costs out each of those items. And at that point, the district is going to decide whether, I mean, my impression at the subcommittee meeting was that if it's not overwhelmingly expensive to do the study, they would agree to include tertiary treatment in the initial study. And then at that point, they're going to have to make the big decision about whether they really want to fund something like that. And yeah. So I think the cost isn't necessarily going to change.
Mm-hmm. It's for just the facility plan itself.
Correct.
Right. And because that cost doesn't change, I'm all in favor of studying all three options. It may be our only chance of convincing them to go in a certain direction.
You in agreement, Bill?
I'm in full agreement.
Okay. All right, then what kind of a motion would we need to present on that?
Madam Mayor, I would suspect that the council.
Well, yeah, you can write it down.
We need to write that down. Don't
you don't have any ink? You need a pen?
Okay, we're getting the motion written down. Anything else?
I would just share with the council that my position at the subcommittee was that we shouldn't even be looking at secondary, that ethically we shouldn't even be going there. But Cayucas feels like they need to go there. So, but they're not basing their decision on values. It's more on money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Was my impression.
All right.
I have one more question, and this is mm-hmm. to Bruce. What do we need to do next? Once we approve the RFP, what's the next thing we're going to take up if we're going to have a monthly meeting and continue the subcommittee?
Well, I think the next item on the agenda at this point would be Regional Board has forwarded a draft settlement agreement that would memorialize the time schedule. I think we're going to try and get together at a staff level on the 19th of this month to sit down and figure out what the attorneys think about all that and to get some technical comment on whether we agree with the milestones and the penalties and all that. And so I believe in October, we'd probably have something to bring back to the joint bodies, hopefully, for approval. And then as far as at the subcommittee level for it. And I spoke with Melody today and a little bit about the JPA agreement, and I know it's not a very popular topic, but, you know, in my opinion, I still think we need to push to at least look at the agreement and see if there isn't some way to clarify it a little bit. You know, I just don't think it's the best written document, and I think Melody's going to take a look at it. She said she'd sit down with me and provide her comments, and certainly that's one approach. The other, and it may be a little bit premature, but it might be a good idea to start thinking about how we're going to pay for this stuff. If you're going to pay out of pocket, or ultimately you're going to buy something. And the question is, are you going to buy it based on flow? Are you going to buy it based on capital cost? And, you know, that's something that the agreement is very, very vague on. And certainly some of the newer facilities, I'm assuming, would be an expansion of the existing facility and would be capital-based. The modernization or the rehabilitation of the existing facility, I'm assuming you're going to hear the word flow come out on that, and it's going to be the district's mantra that they're going to want to pay that on the basis of flow. But when you get into the dollar figure there, you know, it's about a 10% shift between capital cost and flow-based cost. It's a lot of money when you start talking $2 or $3 or $4 million, because you're looking at about $100,000 per million on that. So, you know, it might be a subject just to throw out on the table and say, hey, you know what, we got to talk about it sooner or later. And like I say, it might be a little premature on some of this stuff, but might just be worth testing the water sometimes too.
Might that be a subcommittee topic?
First, and then
yes, Mr. Hendricks.
Bruce did great. I added a bunch of words to it. So,
okay.
How about this? Approve an RFP and direct staff to obtain a proposal that will delineate various treatment options, including full secondary, partial tertiary, and full tertiary, available for consideration along with their cost.
Does that sound good to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so perhaps that's something we should bring up for the subcommittee's next meeting then, is to look at how these costs are going to be shared. Do you think we should do that?
Well, that's what you want, though, is
yeah.
to look at the options.
Right. Right.
No, I'm talking about for the subcommittee meeting. Oh, that's for the subcommittee.
No, this is for these
yeah.
guys.
Yeah, but I mean, is that
microphones.
I think for the subcommittee to discuss the agreement and how the payment is going to be shared, we probably should have up front. We should know that before we get into how much it's going to be for full tertiary, so that there's an agreement already on what the share is going to be, and then we'll know, you know, what Cayucas is either going to come in on or not. So I don't think it's premature. I think it's definitely something the subcommittee should look at.
It's going to take time.
Yeah, it's going to take negotiation. It may take some legal wording to be added to the agreement or something. We don't know what it's going to involve, but no, I don't think it's premature. I think we should get working on that now.
Well, we have a tentative meeting, you said, on the 29th of this month.
Okay.
We could start then.
What's the procedure for agenda items for those subcommittee meetings? Just going to do. That sound good?
Can I ask a question that was raised at public comment? Can you, someone comment on the difference between the agency and an agreement and the comment the speaker made about that?
My recollection of the comments, I can give you my impression, and that is we currently have an agreement with Cayucas that wherein we jointly own and operate the treatment plant. But there is no independent creation of a third financial entity. There is the only financial entities that exist are the city and the district. And we operate the plant. The fundamental mechanics of it are that the city operates the plant and submits a bill to the district for their portion of the costs.
Mm-hmm.
Alternatives are to that model, one where you could create a third entity which would have whatever governance you would describe for it. It might be representatives from the city council in the district or whoever's participating. It might be everybody. It could be any number of alternatives in terms of the makeup of the governance. And then that entity would have its own financial life. It would have its own budgets and revenue and creation, and the individual agencies, the city and the district, would participate financially. But the policy body, the body that made the decisions, would be the separate, independent third body mm-hmm. itself. That's the way I would interpret those comments.
And do you have any feel for why the city and the district have not gone to that, or does Mr. Kosher?
Well, I can't speak for Jim, but I assume that the parties at the time felt that this arranged a program, whatever it is, in favor of whatever the new agency is, and they've become basically a financial participant, but no longer a policy participant. So there are those kinds of governance considerations involved. What happened here years ago, I don't know.
I really don't have anything to offer in terms, other than the issue of control. I think they wanted to maintain separate control, and that would result in the kind of organization that they've got right now.
I have another question for Bruce that came up from the public comments. We have suspended testing for pathogens. Is that correct or not?
No, we have not.
Okay.
In our recent permit renewal application, we requested that we not be required to test the 7 stations located along Atascadero State Beach from the rock all the way to basically Yerba Buena. We do that on a weekly basis in the summer months and once a month during the wet weather months. Our consultant, marine research specialist, who specializes in environmental monitoring, felt that the data that was acquired through that, and it's always been good. It's been a very clean, if you look at the Heal the Ocean report cards for all the beaches, we're constantly in the AA+ range in the summer months. Doesn't provide a good indicator of what our discharge is doing. The stations are located several hundred yards apart. They're not located near the diffuser level of scope of work and put it over towards another point of testing. So we made that request, and we have actually made it twice now in our last 2 permit negotiations, and we have been denied both times. We still monitor pathogens in the effluent at least 5 days a week, so we know if we have fecal coliform leaving the plant. We have a very low limit of fecal coliform in our effluent in the permit. So even if you see a hit on the beach, it's often because of a natural source rather than the wastewater treatment plant. So, and then as far as the chlorinated organochlorines, I'm not an expert in that department, but I can certainly say that when he mentioned dioxin and PCB and some of the DDTs, we do test for those compounds in the effluent, and they are either non-existent or at, like we have detected dioxin at very, very, very low levels in the parts per trillion, and it's it's a very complex test. It's a very expensive test, and it depends on which congener you find. They rate whether some are really bad and some aren't so bad, and we've always found if we have it, it's always been the more benign source of the compound. And we do test for any number of organic compounds that I can't even give you the name of them, but there are 172 compounds tested semi-annually. So I think, you know, people can have a better reassurance that, you know, we're not just dumping raw sewage in the ocean.
Okay, so you're not trying to eliminate testing. You're just wanting to have it be the most effective.
If we're to someplace else, I think that we would be more than happy to do that. And some of the other tests may not even exist or may not be reliable. I mean, science is constantly changing, and the cat litter phenomenon with the otters and the toxoplasma, we actually have worked with UC Davis on that program, and when regional board made a request to test for toxoplasma in our effluent, there is no such test, and actually they are developing that test as we speak, and we were generous enough to donate some funds to that source. So we're working on all that stuff, but, you know, it's hard because some science just isn't there to detect. They don't have accurate testing for practical, quantifiable purposes.
Okay. Any other questions on that issue? No. Anything else you want to discuss?
Would you like me to get this typed and bring it back?
If you have time, that would be great. Yeah,
I can do that. I think okay. The time we have.
All right.
And I have one comment just about timing. If we are consistently going to be meeting, mm-hmm. and since we consistently mm-hmm. haven't gone more than an hour, could we move our time to 5:30 rather than 5? Is that an issue? Okay, that gives us a half an hour to get to Cayucos if we need to, or?
That okay with everyone?
Okay.
Thank we you. Also had a comment from AGP that it's difficult for them to especially when we have our meetings in Cayucos, for them to have the pre-meeting with a full crew and then this Cayucos meeting with a full crew. Mm-hmm. So they just wanted us to be aware that it's possible on one of those Cayucos days that there'd just be a one camera. All right, Nancy, are we ready to go? Okay. All right. We'll bring the September 8th meeting of the joint powers between Morro Bay and Cayucas to order, and let the record show that all council members are present. And Mr. Ennis?
Cayucas, Bonnie, do you want to do the roll call so you pick up Hal and Trey?
President Robert Ennis.
Here.
Vice President Craig Bell, Jr., absent. Director Henry Longo.
Here.
Director Hal Holmes, absent. And Director Bill Jabal.
Here. Thank you.
Okay, we are in a separate, a different place today, so we may have one more member from Cayucas arrive. And next on the agenda is public comment. So anyone wishing to address the joint board, please come forward.
The 9.5 years was the timeline that set, but I appreciate the council's obvious intent to make this process go as quickly as possible and get us online as soon as we can, because as surf riders, we are in the ocean almost every day, and it's something that we believe is our coastal economy is based on the health of our oceans. Going back to the Corolla presentation, the Surfrider Board has agreed that tertiary option is the best option by far. From the presentation of the consultant, it was obvious that we have space limitations at the site, and eventually we are going to need to go to third level treatments down the road. It's going to be required. Secondary treatment has been required for quite a while now, and we believe to respect the space at the sewage treatment plants and to do the best planning that we can, we need to plan for third level treatment starting now and go that route as best as we can. Also, with third level treatment, we are open to more grants and funding potentially, and really looking at, I believe it was the Corolla representative estimated that in today's dollars we'd be paying about $35 a month per resident, 30 to 35. And if you compare that to what Los Osos is looking at, it over $200 a month, I feel that's very affordable. And I don't think that there's many residents in this county that don't feel that would be affordable price, especially compared to what people in Pismo Beach are paying and so on. You know, it's right in that range. So once again, welcome. We would, as the...
Good evening. My name is Marla Bruton. I'm a resident of North Morro Bay. I'm here tonight on behalf of the Central Coast Ocean Outfall Group, and we just want to reiterate what everyone on this board should know, that our position is that full tertiary is the option to take. We have the space, as Noah was saying. It's actually takes less space to do the tertiary than the secondary, was my understanding. And we're going to have to do it anyway. We're 30 years behind getting up to standard. And so we would just, as the community, would like to encourage you to go full tertiary.
Thank you, Marla.
Honorable board members, Joey Ricciano, Ocean Outfall Group. A couple of points I'd like to hit on. One point is that there has been talk about making changes to the testing program, and I would urge you to not only keep the testing program, but to upgrade it, and maybe we can even test for viruses one day, which we do not do at this point. Another thing I want to say, that as the Ocean Outfall Group's position, of course, is a regional full tertiary system. We don't believe that anything less than full tertiary makes any sense whatsoever. Now, the Morro Bay Cayucas discharge is now less than full secondary treatment. Full secondary treatment was mandated by the Clean Water Act 30 years ago because the carbon and the chlorine bond forming organochlorines or chlorinated hydrocarbons. This is the most dangerous class of chemicals. You may recognize some organochlorines. DDT, PCB, and dioxin are endocrine-disrupted chlorinated hydrocarbons. Now, we're having some discussions here about levels of treatment. It's not just in this room either.
These discussions are going on throughout the Morro Bay Estuary watershed. The Morro Bay Estuary watershed, in the opinion of the Ocean Outfall Group, is one of the most impacted watersheds that there is. And so, with the recall about to go through in Los Osos, and with the Morro Bay City Council having taken an excellent leadership role toward tertiary treatment, the time has come for Cayucas to get on board. And we are going to have to pay attention to people who want to dump selenium off Point Estero. There are people who would attack our way of life. And the time has come to stand fast. Let's go to regional full tertiary treatment. And I thank you for this opportunity to address the board.
Thank you, Joey. Anyone else? Okay, Mr. Wakano had made some of those comments previously at our pre-meeting, and Bruce did have a response on some of the testing just to clarify what we are and aren't doing. So I'd like Bruce to reiterate that again for us, please.
Let me see. Yeah, I'm on now. As far as the reduction in pathogen testing, I commented that we had made a request to limit some of the beach monitoring program that we had been doing for the last 15 to 18 years, that if we were to do that, our level of effort and or funding would be shifted into a different area of testing so that perhaps we'd go toward, you know, I don't know about virus testing, but we would use that to test for something else. As far as the chlorinated hydrocarbons, we presently do test for PCB, DDT, dioxin, and any number of those compounds, and I can't rattle them off the top of my head, but you're more than welcome to look at the permit in here, and there's a whole list of the compounds that we do test for.
Well, thank you for addressing my concerns, and let's err on the side of caution. It's the precautionary principle. You learned it in kindergarten. Better safe than sorry. These are our coastal waters.
Thank you. All right. That concludes public comment, unless anyone else. Oh, okay. We got someone else came in.
Good evening, Linda Merrill. I just wanted to say it is a real pleasure to be watching all of you on television and seeing your cooperative approach to this complex problem that we have in our cities with the sewer treatment plant. We all realize that it will be very expensive, and excuse me, I just ran up here. It's a big decision for all of us to make, but it's necessary to protect our ocean and our environment. So I do appreciate all of your efforts, and Bruce has certainly been a guiding light here, and all of our representatives. And so I thank you all for your continued work on this. Thank you. And I do watch you at home on Channel 20, so I will be watching even if I can't stay for the entire meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Anyone else? Okay, I'll conclude public comment. Consent calendar. Do we have anyone who wants to pull anything on the consent calendar? No? All right. I'll entertain a motion approving items A, 1, and 2.
I move that we approve items A, 1, and 2 as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Cayucas?
Cayucas, same motion.
I move that we approve items A, 1, and 2.
Motion and a second. I'd like to thank Morro Bay for providing someone to take the minutes at the committee meeting. Freed Bruce a little bit so he could concentrate more on the subject at hand. So with that, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay. That brings us to item B1, the fiscal year 2005-2006 budget. And Bruce, you have this presentation?
Yeah, we've brought the budget forward at the past several meetings, and there have been questions concerning, really the major question has been the issue of the depreciation schedule and whether that should be included in the budget or not. So we brought that forward to the subcommittee, and at the subcommittee meeting, the district decided to table the discussion of the depreciation schedule at that meeting until they could have, I believe, a board meeting and discuss it amongst themselves. I did put the budget back on just to see if we could get it passed at this meeting. I don't know if the sanitary district's ready to do that. I would like to point out, though, that on page 2 of my staff report, maybe it's page, excuse me, in the budget notes, I believe that I had talked about the front-end loader, and there has been some question concerning the amount of hours. Mr. Enns, you and I had discussed that, and the hours, I believe, I misquoted, and I believe we're using it 240 hours a year rather than 700. So it's about 60 hours per quarter. And I don't know if that changes the sanitary district's position on funding that particular item. And I've also had a little bit of, second thought in my own mind that whether the city should actually be funding that and then the treatment plant borrowing the loader with some sort of rental agreement with the city. If you do want to pass a budget tonight, my suggestion would be that we pass a budget with maybe coming back to the loader item at a future date so we can have a little more discussion on it.
Okay. Morro Bay has approved the budget, so up to you, Cayucas. Did you have a chance to discuss this again?
As Bruce mentioned, we've tabled the discussion of depreciation to our next regular meeting, which has not occurred yet.
Okay.
So we'll get back to you on that. On the front end loader, when the numbers you gave us before, Bruce, indicated that you were the major user of it and used it almost every day, at which point I think we supported you in the purchase. With the new numbers, I think you might be right that the city probably should purchase it. I got concerned about who's going to do the bookkeeping and keep track of which hours go where. And so at some point, I think it would be easier if the city owned it and the treatment plant used it on a rental basis of some kind. But we could, as you said, put that on for a future discussion.
Yeah, when I put the budget together, I actually didn't think that the loader would be funded, but I wanted to bring it to the attention of the joint boards that we do use the loader on a regular basis and that the loader that the city operates right now is fairly old, and that if the loader fails to, you know, if we don't have a front-end loader, we're going to have to do something to continue our solids management part of the operation. So maybe we can kick that around at city staff level and come back with some ideas.
I think that would work best at this time. Any comments from the Cayucas board?
Okay, so with that, then we'll be continuing the budget approval for our next meeting to give Cayucas a chance to discuss it. All right. Do we need a motion to do that?
Or to continue?
Do we need a motion to continue that? Okay. All right. Item B2. We're all here and heard it, right. This is the status report on the 9.5-year full secondary compliance schedule. Bruce?
At the last meeting, we had... There we go. We had... I had given a report that said that we had actually delivered the compliance schedule to regional board. We had met with regional board staff that they were prepared to endorse a 9.5-year schedule for upgrading the treatment plant, and that their attorney would be drafting a settlement agreement to memorialize a time schedule that would probably be included in our next NPDS permit and some way of some legal framework for making sure that both sides are prepared to move forward. We have, at the time I wrote the staff report, we had not received a draft settlement agreement, but we did receive one last week. The attorneys and staff are going over it right now, and I think we're going to get together in the next about 10 days and try and provide comment on that. So we'll be bringing something back maybe at the next meeting. I don't know what Mr. Carmel's thoughts on that are, but both Rob Schultz, the city attorney, and Tim Carmel, legal counsel for the district, will be weighing in on that heavily. The other aspect of the permit renewal process is that regional board staff is ready to move forward on renewing an NPDS permit for the wastewater treatment plant. It would contain, as of right now, the goal is to have another 301H modified discharge permit followed by a second permit for the second five-year period. That would be a full secondary permit with interim effluent limitations. So we will probably be seeing some sort of draft permit released, my guess, in the next 2 weeks to a month, and then we'll go through a public comment and public notice period. And I think Regional Board had hoped to have that permit on their December agenda, and I don't think that we're going to make that arrangement. My gut feeling is we'll be on the February agenda, but I know Regional Board staff is still pushing for a December permit renewal hearing. So I'll keep you posted on what happens there.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on Betty?
The reason we wouldn't make that is because their agenda's full or because we won't be ready?
My understanding is that there's a legal requirement for public notice and comment, and I'm not sure if... I know that the draft settlement agreement and the draft permit both have to be public noticed, and the comment period has to go through a specific time period. If we can't make that time period on the settlement agreement, my guess is we'd move it back to the next meeting. But I think there's room on the agenda in December. It may be more a matter of the administrative process of trying to make sure that both Regional Board staff, City Council, and the district are all comfortable with the process that we're going through.
Okay, any other questions for Morbe? You have another one? Okay.
I actually have another one. The difference between the first 5 year would be like what we have now, the waiver that they're going to give us, and the second 5 years is actually a modified secondary one, which is slightly different from what we have now, right? And so is it just the testing that's different between the two?
Actually, the permits will read pretty much exactly the way they are now, because for every other constituent except VOD and suspended solids, we're either meeting full secondary standards, we're meeting EPA requirements, or the California Ocean Plan. So really, it's only those two constituents that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But we will probably maintain the same limitations through that 9.5 year period.
Okay. Other questions? Guy, you guys, any questions? No. Okay. This is on the status report on the upgrade.
Yes. First, I wanted to say that that there were some comments made in the public comment about Cayucas dragging their feet or not being on the bandwagon of tertiary, and I want to say that we support the concept of tertiary. We will not try to in any way stop Morro Bay from doing tertiary. Our concern is that we've learned that by law we cannot charge our constituents for something where we cannot show a benefit. So for us to agree to spend our constituents' money to go to tertiary and then to find out that there's absolutely no benefit to them could get us in trouble. So I want to say that we support the concept of tertiary. We certainly don't want to discourage anyone from going in that direction, and we'll help in any way we can to see that if you want to do that, that we can accommodate your needs and what you'd like to do in Morro Bay. Our concern simply is one of staying the legal course the best we can. So with that, I think, is there any other comments?
Okay, then that's just a report to be received and filed. So we'll move on to C1, the report from the JPA subcommittee. Bruce?
As I mentioned earlier, we did meet on, I think it was August 25th, for the JPA subcommittee, and there was two topics of discussion. One was a depreciation schedule, which we just touched briefly on during the budget, and that I believe we'll be coming back to at a future meeting. The second topic was related to task one of the 9.5 year upgrade schedule, and that was what the priorities and goals of the district and the city were when it came to trying to put together the facilities master plan, where we're going to look at what upgrades are going to be performed at the plant and what levels of treatment will ultimately be approved. The city, as I said at the last meeting, the city has endorsed tertiary treatment in at some level. The district, as Mr. Enns just pointed out, has some concerns about that. In order to get a comprehensive scope of work together for putting a request for proposal out to hire a consultant, I needed some direction on what levels of treatment and what the respective agencies wanted. The recommendation that came out of the subcommittee was that we have the consultant actually put all three alternatives in the scope of work for the facilities master plan and have the consultant come back with a price breakdown for each of those, so it'll give the district a better idea of what sort of funding level they would have to, or both agencies would have to go through in order to study full tertiary and partial tertiary treatment. And that might ally their fears a little bit about how much, you know, money their constituents have to put out and whether or not they're gaining benefit. So they did come back with a recommendation, and I believe that Mr. Baxley actually has the recommendation, some language for a motion for a recommendation from that subcommittee.
I don't have a copy in front of me.
Oh, I think I do. I'm supposed to pass it around. While we're passing that around, I had a question on that. Will the study indicate if there is any way that Cayucas could make use of the reclaimed water? If there was some way to transport it, I assume that's the problem, is getting it to where you could use it.
That appears to be the biggest problem.
Right.
In addition, from the Corolla report that was done at the last time we got our 301H waiver, a boil report that was done earlier than that. I think those were in 97, in that range. It appeared to be very expensive to use reclaimed water, something in the neighborhood of $5,000 an acre foot, I believe the last report indicated. And in addition to that, we would have to try to transport it mm-hmm. to Cayucas. The biggest problem that we've looked at is trying to cross Toro Creek. You may be aware that Caltrans is no longer allowing people to put pipelines on their bridges. Mm. It would require probably drilling underneath Toro Creek, and even that has been difficult to get permits to do. So our feeling was, and we would have to take the water all the way to downtown. We only have two small parks and a grammar school that we could use the water on. We're already using a non-potable source to do the grammar school lawn playing field, so it's very limited as to how much water we could use. So it almost makes it financially not feasible.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Enns, what if rather than using the water, we sold the water, and then that would make back money for your constituents? Would that qualify?
Are we going to sell it in Cayucas or Morro Bay?
No. So I'm assuming somewhere up the Chorro Valley where we would pipe it to the farmers.
If we felt that we could do that, we'd be very interested. I believe the Corolla report and the Boyle report pointed out that would be very difficult in that it would require building a huge amount of storage. The biggest concern was what to do with this water in the wintertime when the farmers don't want it.
Okay.
But specifically to answer your question, if we could sell it and it's financially feasible, I think that would be a great plan.
And then that would satisfy the legal requirement?
I believe it would. And any comments from our board?
Any comments from Morro Bay on the subcommittee report? All right, Thad, do you want to bring forward that motion then?
Yes. The motion would be to approve and authorize circulating a request for proposal, an RFP, that would obtain a planning proposal which delineates various treatment alternatives, including but not limited to full secondary, partial tertiary, and full tertiary treatment options, along with their costs.
All right. Do I hear a second for more?
Second.
Any discussion? Betty?
Following back up again with this discussion with Mr. Anz and Cayucas, actually, in general, if you're theoretically committed to tertiary and you're committed to allowing Morro Bay to go tertiary, even if you don't, do we even need the secondary option and we can go with the partial, secondary, tertiary, and tertiary only? Do we really need to examine the total secondary?
I'd like to weigh in on that. I think we do. I think we need all of the costs, because that way all of us can see what the difference is going to be. If indeed Cayucas does not want to participate in the tertiary, we see the cost differential between what they would approve and do and what we want to do. So I think it is important to have all levels at least delineated.
But wouldn't the partial delineate the costs? Like, what I'm hearing is that theoretically, ethically, we want to do something tertiary, whether it's partial or full, and that really secondary becomes not important, even though it may be economically. It sounds like we're committed to going beyond the economics to the social good of at least some tertiary. And so then do we even need to examine the secondary?
May I comment on that?
Sure.
Yeah, I think we need it as a comparison. Simply as a comparison. And RFP would simply say we have all three and we'll look at them and then we can compare and make a decision. So I think it should be in there.
And I think that's the way we would look at it. The secondary is the baseline cost. That's the lowest possible cost you could meet the requirement that we have in front of us. And then let's use that as the baseline and then talk about how much more it costs to do some other things we'd like to do.
And could I make a comment?
Yes.
Then I was wondering if Bruce could comment on the fact that if we do tertiary and we're looking at the cost of it, if in that examination or the analysis of those costs, could we include also that we have no access to grants and certain loans with secondary, but we do have access to those kinds of grants and loans with tertiary, and to include that in a cost analysis, would that be possible in that RFP? So that when it comes in, there's going to be a difference in the cost, but I want to see a difference in the cost benefits as well.
I would assume there would be some discussion of that in the report, but I don't know the level of detail. I mean, I'm sure we could try and include that in the report.
Like the Prop 50 possibilities and those kinds of things. I don't think we could get a full amount, but just to include them in the discussion, to say that there's offsetting monies if we go tertiary that do not exist if we remain at secondary. And I would think that would be a fair way of looking at those options.
How do we know that's a factor? That's just an assumption.
By asking for it to be included in this facilities report.
No. I'm hearing you say that we shouldn't even include secondary because we're saying that categorically there would be no grant funding available for secondary only.
Mr. Gervaux, we're including secondary.
No, I understand.
And if this consultant who writes the facilities plan can find some funding for an old secondary plant out there, I'd be happy to know about it. But what I want to know is what funding is available for these different options out in the world of funding sources. If there's money available for secondary, I'd love to hear about it.
Okay, the question I have is, I thought that was a different task under the nine and a half year proposal. There is a financial task, is there not, Bruce?
Yeah, I'm wondering if we can't get maybe a preliminary look at that in this, or at least try and include something like that in the draft language and see what we get. But there is going to be eventually a financial plan that's going to include a rate study and a real thorough examination of what is available out there for us, I think. And I think you're going to have a better idea when you go into the financial plan, because I think the financial plan sort of begins once you have started to select a project, so it's a little more concrete when you go searching for funds.
However, we select a project based on the pros and cons of that project. And so the cons obviously are the facilities cost, and the pros might be that we would have access to funding, perhaps. We don't know for sure, but perhaps if we're at tertiary or partial tertiary, that we would not have access to it secondary, perhaps. We don't know for sure. But to find that out at this stage so that we can make a real decision, you know, if there really aren't any Prop 50 monies, or they've all been spent, or if there are no grants available for these kinds of things for tertiary, then we'll stop talking about those kinds of possibilities. But I'd like to have that kind of on the table at this juncture so that we can make a reasoned choice before we move on, is all.
All right, we have a motion on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Cayucas?
Okay, Cayucas, and before we say anything, I'd like to ask.
I believe your attorney needs to speak.
Tim, would you like to speak?
Yeah, Tim Carmel, the district's legal counsel. Unfortunately, I tend to be in the role of the Brown Act policeman. the agenda description for this item is report from Wastewater Treatment Plant Subcommittee. The report itself states that the recommendation is for the department recommends that the report be received and filed. And the Brown Act actually requires that action items be agendized as action items. That's so that the public can have the benefit of commenting on them. And I know this may be hyper-technical again. I think you get to the same place because the RFP itself will have to come back to the Joint Board Council before it's distributed. So I prefer that we not take formal action and perhaps just direct staff or Bruce to go ahead and prepare a proposal which delineates various treatment alternatives, including but not limited to full secondary, partial tertiary, and full tertiary options along with their costs, but that we not do so formally. Thank you.
It's good. It's good.
Okay, with that, I want to add that what the committee came up with here actually allows Bruce to move ahead with the facilities plan, the RFP, and I'd like to point out to those people who have made comments about the 9.5 year being too long a period, this could possibly advance the entire process by a year. So I think there's something really good about what we're doing here. It's going to take a little more because we're going to look at three things instead of one. But with that, we're allowing the schedule to move up, and I'm excited about that. So with that, I would ask Morrill Bay to reconsider, simply to direct staff to go ahead and prepare a draft RFP, and we'll support that.
Okay, so we need to
withdraw my motion.
Rescind the motion? Okay, we already voted on it, so I think we have to rescind the motion.
Okay, I move that we rescind the motion that I made.
I second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right, Bruce, you have direction, but not a motion.
You're now in motion.
Okay.
I want to be sure I didn't really address our board about is that agreeable to direct staff to do that? All right. Thank you.
For the subcommittee, is there anything else that we would like the subcommittee to handle? I think we came up with some discussions in our preliminary meeting.
We're assuming that at the last subcommittee meeting, we had a tentative meeting scheduled for September 29th, I believe, 8 a.m. in
Cayucas.
And let me clarify something. I'm on the committee. I actually chaired the last meeting. I didn't know what the name of it was. Somewhere it said we're called the – where is it?
Subcommittee.
No, there was another term.
Another name for us?
Yeah.
I've got just JPA subcommittee here.
Technical Advisory Committee. Uh-huh. Is that what we're officially called?
I saw that.
I don't know. Bruce, I'm asking you, I guess.
I think that we should – be sure and put the word standing subcommittee in there because the Brown Act has different rules about standing committees and ad hoc committees.
Are we standing or ad hoc? What is the difference?
We're a standing committee.
Okay.
Continuing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
staff.
Under Brown Act.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Okay. If we're going to have the meeting then on the 29th, and I would just as soon do that, the four of us get together. One of the things Morrowbay would like to look at some point in time is a clarification of our JPA agreement. And we need to start, at least, looking at it and how it relates to what we're trying to do here in this 9.5-year plan and what it's going to take. And I would think this would be a time to start.
Okay. Any other agenda items that Morrowbay has?
Bruce, do you have anything to add?
Do we want to look at the money?
I threw out cost apportionment issues, and like I said, it may be a little premature to talk about that, but it would be interesting to see, you know, if what we're doing in terms of capital basis versus flow basis in terms of future plans and how that's spelled out in the JPA, I guess. And like I say, it may be premature, but it may be worth at least throwing it out on the table.
I don't think anything's premature at this point. We need to move on every different aspect of this to keep within our schedule.
Will we have a draft of the agreement with the regional water quality people by that time, 29th?
That's a good question.
I think I'd be speculating, but we would hope to have something that we're comfortable with.
Okay, I'd like to get that on the agenda then so that we can discuss it if we have it. Thank you.
All right, anything else? Okay, Lucas? Okay. Then we're on to scheduling the next meeting.
Mayor, before we go to the next item,
yes.
I want to caucus with Robert for a second. Is that allowed?
Okay.